You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 15. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for your grace, your presence, your power. Thank you for everything. So help us now, we're looking at your word. Spirit of God, honor our Lord, honor thy word, and Father, may you be pleased in the whole process. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. The Lord's in the upper room. Remember, he's going out to the cross in just a matter of a handful of hours, as it were. And in the process, going out, he's going to go and he's trying to encourage and stimulate his 11 disciples that are there. And he's going to help them understand, having giving them special instruction on being able to put together the reality and the rightness, the reality and the rightness of looking to God and outworking his good will. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, so here we are going, and God, that's what he wants. And it's an awesome thing he's going to have them do to understand. And it will produce a wonderful, wonderful exercise of understanding and enjoying life, L-I-F-E, his life. Now, so in the process we share together in verse 14 and 15, this friends, to be God's friend is an awesome thing, and we shared that together. And that friends, I'll read verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, slaves, for the servant, the slave, knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. So God, in his wonderful, wonderful grace, sets apart the believing heart to be able to know him, not only to serve his good will, but to be able to be his friend. And we shared, in the process of being his friend, you're always a servant, always a slave is the word. You're always that. You're always serving in the Father's house. Everyone serves the will of God in the Father's house. If you were a friend, if you're a son, as a son, believing, knowing the Lord as your Savior, you're going to be a son, but you're going to be a serving son. Everyone serves. Everyone outworks God's wonderful plan and purpose, God being the only God. Therefore, over to John chapter 4. John and chapter 4. And may I pick up, please? John chapter 4, and you'll see it. God, remember they want to bring the Lord lunch. They're hungry. And in the process, verse 34, 4 and 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat, my food, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. It's all about God outworking his wonderful will. And that's so that, having said that and keeping that in mind, so God, that's what you're going to do, is outwork your will. Over to chapter 6. And God is going to say again, to relate it to us believers, chapter 6, verse 57, in the light of the context. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. I feed off the Father's wonderful person, and you're going to feed off my person, in order to know the Father's person. Now, God, you're going to do that. And Our Lord is out working his will, serving the will of the Father. And you know, without turning there in Matthew 27, 6 and all that, he says in the garden, not my will, but thy will be done. That's what he wants. You'll say it three times. Not my will, but thy will be done. That's what he says. So God is all about honoring you, looking for you to be God in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over to in John chapter 15. And in John chapter 15, you recall, going to verse 16. Now, having said, it's understood that we have that wonderful relationship to God if we would but take it. Now, so verse 16. You, God makes it clear to them, because God's telling them what they need to do to abide and rest in his wonderful person. Verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. You have not, and that's reflexive, the middle voice, I should say, that you yourself, you didn't choose me, you guys. I have chosen you. I myself chose you. You did not choose me. So in the process, God, you did the choosing. Now the word you're looking at, the verb, to choose. You're looking at to select, to pick out, to select, to pick out for oneself, to choose, to put, implying that the person is rejecting, I'm rejecting this, not, N-O-T, N-O-T, not implying he's rejected this, but taking it all. Just think of a basket of apples, if you would, and here's a basket of fresh, wonderful apples, and the basket's sitting there, and you go and reach down, and you take an apple from the basket, and you hold it up in your hand in order to show the people that are coming in the apples that are in the basket. All the apples are there, all the apples are wonderful apples, but you're going to take one apple, select it, choose it, not disregarding the others. You're going to hold the apple up and show the apple. Hang on to that. Now, so that's a little word we're looking at, to choose, a little verb to choose, to pick out, to choose. Now, God, you chose the 12. I did, and we'll look at that in a sec. And using it just from Mary's end of it in Luke chapter 10, what did she do? Well, Martha was busy trying to get supper, a meal, to cook it and to feed them, as a good host should do. And Mary, who lived in the same house, Mary was sitting at his feet. And Martha got all upset because she wasn't getting any help in serving, cooking. And the Lord said, Mary hath chosen the better thing. Chosen. Mary had the right to help Martha. She chose to sit at his feet. It wasn't about food. It was about sitting at his feet and enjoying the food. Enjoying the food that the Lord would give. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over, if you would, please, in your Bible, over to 1 Timothy. Let's get that part of it. 1 Timothy and chapter 1. Now, keep in mind, we did all these things, so what do we know? Before anything or anyone has been created, including angels, the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. Before God created anything, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, were in agreement, if you could use that human word, in what they did, and God decided to glorify himself. Since God is only God, the only God there is, there's no other person that can glorify God except God. So God, being full of his wonderful person, it gives expression to it. The same as an artist, a very Michael, an artist, or whatever, Van Gogh or somebody, a wonderful artist. And the artist is full of the ability to project and paint. And the artist takes the canvas and paints on it because it's coming, he's painting what's in his head and heart, and he's putting it on display so you could see it. God is going to put himself on display so you can see him. You can understand him. Otherwise, there's no way. God, the infinite, invisible God. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, he did that. And Christ the Lamb, before he created anybody, including angels, he had a plan that he'd create them, and that sin, and that everything would go wrong, and God would glorify himself by he himself becoming the solution. He himself would be the Savior to pay for the price of Adam's sin. And God would do that. That's before anything. So now, so here, how many people, how many humans did God think about before? Way back forever, before there was any time. Are there any humans left out? Because Christ is going to die for how many? He's going to die for every single one in Adam. He has to. When he died for Adam, he died for everybody in Adam. He had to. There's no piecemealing it. Now, that's A. So God, you did that. Now God, I want to lock that in. That's important. If you want to understand choosing. 1 Timothy chapter 2, picking up if I may, sliding down directly in the light of everything to verse 4. Chapter 2, 1 Timothy, verse 4. Who, God, our Savior, verse 3, verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth? You want everyone saved. I died for them. Now remember, what is the God? What did you say to Adam? Adam sinned, and God had put the solution right up in front of him. Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman is going to come, and the seed of the serpent, and God is going to go, and the Mary is going to give birth to our Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to go to the cross. The sinless Son of God is going to go to the cross and die. And that was the message, right off. And Adam and Eve got the message, what God had planned before the foundation of the world, because he knew Adam was going to sin, and Eve, because of the angels and all of that. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, God's going to go and do that. And therefore, he dies for all of them. He has to die for all of them. And they knew that. So when you offer, turn the pages of history, Old Testament, New Testament, where we are today, and what do we know? What is the gospel, the good news? To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Could you say that to Adam and Eve? He did. Cain and Abel, could they hear it? Absolutely. Is anyone that doesn't hear it? God, did you ever ask them about their lousy life or what they do and say? And no. No, you never asked that. Because why? You died on the cross for their sin. There's no sense in offering the good news if you aren't able to receive it. And because Christ died for you, That's why you can receive it. And that's why all the way through history and right now, what do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You could have just been you could be a normal, terrible person. How's that? All you got to do is believe. Why? Because Christ died on the cross and paid your sin. Now, so go do it. You got to get this part in. Over, if you would, to 1 John. 1 John. And you'll notice in the first epistle of John, and chapter 1, chapter 2, better. 1 John chapter 2, picking up, please. May I go directly to verse 1. My little children, 2:1, 1 John. My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate, a defense attorney, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is, Jesus Christ the righteous, is the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. So God, you guide for all, that's right, before. That's why you created us, we shared it the other day. That's why you're created. God would never let you be born on planet Earth if he didn't have a solution for you. Otherwise, you're born dead in sin and you're going to the lake of fire. That isn't God's plan. The lake of fire is for whom? The hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. We only end up there because we don't want to go along with God's wonderful solution. That's what love. What is the best thing God's love can do? That's where we have to go. Now, so God, here we are looking, and while you're in Peter, just turn over if you would. 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, picking up please, in verse 24. 1 and 24, 1 Peter. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you, the good news. Now, hold your finger here, and go. I want you just to do this again, just to irritate you. Go over Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And let me get there. If I can, Psalm 103, may I pick up, please, if I can, in the light of everything, verse 13. I'm going to read verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, 103, number 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Verse 14. Why did you have to do all this ahead of time? Because, boy, we aren't going to do very good. And God said, you can't save yourself. Salvation, you don't do the choosing. It isn't your plan, it's God's plan. Verse 14. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Now, God, you know. So, therefore, which person have you ever met or ever read about with all humans in history? Which person did you ever read about that was not made of the dust of the ground, and God sees them as nothing but grass in the human sense, in their flesh? Say it easier. Do you know any person that died that didn't become dust? Now, you can't check it out. I understand that. Secondly, God said, without turning there, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29, how much flesh will God allow to be and be glorified by? How much human flesh will God allow to be glorified by? 1 Corinthians 1:29. No flesh shall glory in my presence. So your flesh, the whole bunch of us, got it? We're dust. The human being cannot, and in no way, are we going to have election. Election, I picked you, and you guys are out. That is an election. Election is not picking and choosing to hell. I'm just trying to help you see, because people have a limited atonement, you know that, all the Calvinism and all that. I don't know, you can't do it. You can say it, you can think it, you can write 10 books on it. But it doesn't work. It isn't real. It doesn't come out. Therefore, God, what are we looking at? God, 1 Peter, back over to 1 Peter. You thought I forgot your finger. Sometime I do. I do. But I didn't this time. 1 Peter, chapter 2. Now, God, what do we know in your wonderful person about our God and Savior? Chapter 2, 1 Peter, chapter 2, sliding down to verse 3. If so be you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom, verse 4, coming as unto a living stone, disallowed and rejected, disallowed indeed of men, but, what's the word? Chosen of God. Chosen. God chose himself. God chose himself to be born in Bethlehem, Judea. God chose the human body, the Spirit of God conceived and brought forth in the Virgin Mary. God chose that man, that perfect man. God chose him, the sinless Son of God. He's the solution. He chose him when? Way back before anything's ever created, he chose him. That's what he did. So that he could proceed. Now, God, you made that choice. Hang on. Now, a chosen of God, verse 4, and precious. And, I'll read it, I guess. As also as lively stones are built up spiritual house, and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, there's your little word, elect, chosen, elected, and precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient and not believing, the stone which the builders disallowed, they wouldn't put it in, the same is made the head of the corner. They rejected Christ, God's solution, and they put in their own system of works, etc., Judaism and all of that. So God, you chose, that's right, I chose. God said, I chose. Before the foundation of the world, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost made a choice. And God the Son made a choice. And he made a choice to be born in the Virgin Mary and limited himself in a most awesome way to the perfect humanity of Jesus Christ. He did that. And God chose that. God chose the solution. You don't have to turn there. John 15, 16. You have not chosen me. I have chosen you. I have chosen you. Before you ever existed, I chose you. Hang on. That's awesome. Now, in the light of that, in the light of that wonderful, wonderful truth. Now, God, you have done that. Over, if you would please, to Ephesians. Ephesians in chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. God, we read it, just reading it again. Ephesians 1, verse 4. According as he hath, there's your little verb, chosen. According as he has chosen, U.S., what do you think that means? U.S., Ephesians 1, 4, according as he hath chosen us. How so? Oh, I can see why he takes pics. No. No. He has chosen us in Christ. Chosen us in Christ. Christ died for what? How many? The whole ball game. The whole basket of apples. He died for it all. And he raises up an apple, his son, to say, listen, see this apple, that's Christ Jesus the Savior? That's why all the apples are saved. If they would, but what? Believe. They're chosen in him. You aren't chosen in your grandmother or your father or some pilgrim, your history. No. You're chosen in Christ. Oh, by the way, it does say that all the time. All this time. It says before. Before the foundation of the world. That's right. It keeps saying it. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. You keep saying it, God. Didn't you tell me? I did all of this before you were ever born. And all you've got to do is believe. Oh, it must be more than that. Nope. I'll read it again. According, verse 4, according as chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, purpose that, middle of verse 4, we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated, marked out ahead of time, having a purpose, having predestinated us who have chosen, to what? To be adopted, to the adoption of children, adoption, to be placed as sons, children, by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. That's what God's doing. That's what God did. Wow. We're just sitting here. We didn't do anything. We didn't do a thing. We didn't even think it. In fact, we can't even hear it and understand it. We try to hear it. We try to understand it. It's so too big. It's unbelievable. Except it's true. It's wonderfully true. Wow. Now, so therefore, God, looking to you to deal with our heads and our hearts, over if you would please, in the light of that, now I got to do that. Thank you. We did it last time, but I'm going to do it again for you a little. Over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. All of it comes together. You just have to keep it all together in a package so you see it. 1 Corinthians and chapter 1. And may I pick up, please? May I go directly to verse 25. Well, verse 23. But we preach 1 and 23, 1 Corinthians. We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews, a stumbling block, unto the Greeks, Gentiles, foolishness. It's a silly thing to Christ to be. Someone die on the cross? How could that ever do help anybody? Verse 24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For we see your calling, brethren, how that many geniuses and Caltech and Stanford and Harvard and Oxford were chosen. Remember reading that? Well, no. Verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many not mighty, not many noble are called. On the contrary, but God, verse 27, hath chosen. There's your little verb. He selected what? What a dumb thing to do, to select foolish things. Verse 29, no flesh shall what? Glory in my presence. If you think, hang on. Verse 27, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things, low things of the world, the things which are despised, hath God chosen over and over. Yea, and the things which are not to bring to nothing, things that are, the people are proud and everything else. They're wise. The Greeks think they're brilliant. The Jews think they know everything, and all kinds of different things, the ways to say that. The end of verse 28, to bring to naught things that are. Verse 29, context, that no flesh shall glory in his presence. None. And verse 30, on the contrary, but of Christ, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. There's no sense in I didn't pick the apples because I like this one and like that one. I did not do that. Zero. People think that. God didn't do that. He chose them if they believe. And then God picked that. Let me show it to you a different way. Over to Deuteronomy D, number 7. Thank you. Deuteronomy number 7. Deuteronomy 7. And you'll notice, please, may I go directly to verse 6. This is about Israel. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people, Israel, a prized, privileged people, unto him, unto himself. God did it above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Of all the different nations, God, you chose them. That's right. Verse 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. Why pick the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? They're nobodies. Here's Pharaoh and all of them. Why pick them? They're the fewest. And that go a little further. Verse 8. Because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep his oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out of them with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the land of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. You were nobody, and I chose you. I told Abraham, Abraham, who are you? And Abraham said, I'm nobody. Ah, God said, you're now somebody. And God chose. What for? Abraham, chapter 12, Genesis, to bless what? to bless all the nations of the world. Why did you choose Abraham? Why did you pick that apple? Because I want all the apples to understand what I've done and what I'm willing to do to save whosoever. That's Israel. Israel is nothing until God is there, and then it's everything. And you know, while you're in Deuteronomy still, you're only a couple of pages away. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And Deuteronomy in chapter 4, picking up if I can, right in the middle of it all, verse 6, 4 and 6. Keep therefore and do them, the commandments of God. This is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Verse 7, for what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great, verse 8, that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? The nations are what? To look at Israel. Israel is a little nobody that has become his God's instrument, God's apple, if you would. And God put it up in front, so what? For all nations to understand that they can be saved. God saves Israel. God saves all, if they would but believe. Now we come to the church. Now God, here we are, over to 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians, if I can. God chose Israel to show all the nations his wonderful saving grace, if they would but believe. Israel was corrupted by the devil so that it could not be a light in the darkness. God went, and the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, which we just read in John chapter 15, he's going to do. He's going to go and die on the cross. And in the process, God, what are you going to do? I'm going to do something wonderful. Remember the apple? And here's all the nations. Here's Israel. Now, God, what happened to the apple? Well, that apple doesn't shine, no light in it, it's dark. Over there, looking at Israel, we don't hear about a awesome God. No, because you're like all the rest of the apples. I'm going to put that apple back down with all the nations, and the nations, times of the Gentiles, are over the apple. And now, so what are you going to do? Well, Christ goes and dies. Now, God, you're trying to say something to everybody because you died for them. That's right. Now, I say that. Now, God, what did you do? I died on the cross, and everyone that recognizes they're born dead in sins and they need life and they believe in me. You got to do that. And when they believe, they recognize that they see themselves on Calvary's cross. And when they see themselves there, they see themselves buried, and they see themselves risen in Christ. Christ who rose again from the grave, there they are. God died for all of them to be able to save all of them. He died for all of them to save all of them. Death, I recognize my death. I find my life. I look at him. He's my life. Christ, Colossians, Christ who is our what? He's our life. Wow, that's what you do. Now what did you do, God? In my Son, Ephesians 1:4, I have chosen you in my Son, whosoever's, and I'm going to place you in my body. No one else is. Old Testament, nothing. Tribulation, nope. The millennium, nope. Just now. I have chosen you, believers, to be in my body. What for? So the people can what? realize I rose again from the grave. And we are to walk in newness of life. Whose life? Christ's life. That's what we're supposed to do. And what is supposed to be? We're just another little apple, as it were, if you could use that illustration. Here we are. We're nobodies. Foolish things. That's right. For what? To let the world know that God's able to save a whosoever. And think of Romans 1 and 23 and all 22, 23. And they rejected Christ, made idols and idolaters and all of it about everybody, turned everyone to his own way. And God, they be professing themselves to be wise. They what? They became fools. And I have chosen the foolish things, the whosoevers that are nobodies. And what right do I have to be? Because you believe, and I died for you, and you're wise enough and smart enough in your old nature to know I'm the only solution you have, and I am the solution. And you believe. What do, God? You do something wonderful with us. You place us in your body in a most awesome way. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 4. Knowing, this is the Thessalonian believers. They're in northern Greece, Macedonia. Southern Greece is Corinth, up here in Macedonia. And the persecution's horrible up there. Not down below. It's up there. That boy, are they getting persecuted up, like in Jerusalem. Now, therefore, 1 Thessalonians 1, 4, verse 4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your what's that little word? Election, your choice. God chose. Your election of God. What did they do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what they did. Verse 5. Our gospel, good news, came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. We brought you the gospel, clear, straight, plain, nothing, no playing around with it. Wow. And you believed. Your Christ, before the foundation of the earth, died for you. And you're willing to believe. But the Jews rejecting, the Gentiles rejecting, but I find a whosoever, John 1:12, and may it receive him, I find a whosoever and a whosoever and a whosoever. What made the whosoevers be a special whosoever? They believed. That's what they did. What makes you different than the people down the street? If you believe. That's what makes you, they're all whosoevers. It's just you believe. Wow. Where am I going to go? Over, if you would, chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5, sliding down to verse 9. For God hath not appointed, we didn't get that far in chapter 15 of John, God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. God saves you by his grace, for his grace. What's he, you know all these things. What is God doing? The Lord Jesus Christ comes, not like Moses, representing the law. The Lord Jesus comes, representing what? Grace and truth. And what are you supposed to be doing? We're in the dispensation of grace. What are we doing? We're demonstrating God's marvelous, marvelous grace. You're nobody. I'm nobody. Grace means everything of God, nothing of us. And we're whosoever's, the believed, and get saved. And we have an awesome position, an awesome place. And God, there's no wrath for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the executor of wrath. No. We're in Christ. There is no wrath. No wrath. Never. Never. We're freed in the wonderful person of our Lord. Wow. Wow. God. Are you getting a little bit? Closing. Second Peter. Second Peter chapter 1, and you'll recall as it goes through telling us how we ought to be growing. I'll read verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4. Whereby then are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. What for? That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, the God's wonderful nature. How are we going to share a relationship to God? In the person of Jesus Christ, who is your life. And the life you have isn't in your old nature, it's in Christ Jesus in you. We should try to do that at the conference in a fumbling way, to try to get you to see it. You can believe and I receive the Lord as my Savior and wonderful. You have to understand, I'm not saying people aren't saved like that, but if you don't realize you received God, Almighty God, into your heart, if Jesus isn't God in your heart, you aren't saved. Jesus is God. And when I understand God's in me, then I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. But without, if I don't understand God in me, God is, has no problem doing all things. God has no problem meeting my need. But I do if I don't realize God's in here to do it. I'm trying to do it in my, I thank God for being saved and I pray so hard and everything. But I don't realize I'm doing it disregarding the reason it all works. It's because I have received is my Savior. And that's why it works. And that's why the church, that's the problem across the world when it comes to believers. You don't realize that. They don't. And you know yourself. God, in this, think of infinite being, unchangeable, ever-present, all-powerful. God. That's why the Jews had a problem. Why? How could God be a man? Because they knew, God, you're awesome. They didn't believe, but they knew it. They said, God can't be a man. They didn't believe. They rejected him and crucified him because they couldn't believe. Today, people don't believe. I didn't say they aren't saved. I know it, because when a person's believing God's in them, I got to tell you, your world's different. You think different. You move different. And you don't sit there with a critical everything. You understand. It's God making it all happen. I got to quit. I hate watches. In the conference, they had one sitting here looking at you. Wow. Are you getting it a little bit? 1 Peter 1:10. God, in the light of what we just read in Peter, verse 10, wherefore, the rather brethren, give diligence to make your calling. God called you unto his wonderful fellowship with his Son. Make your calling, and what's the next word? Election, your choice. God chose you. You, John 15:16, you did not choose me, I chose you. I chose you before you were ever born. I looked at you and I said, I died for all of that whole bunch in Adam. Wow. Make your calling and election sure. Verse 10, if you do these things, you shall never fall. Wow. I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. I think to the degree and measure we're stupid about understanding something is the degree and measure we never get it. So I could preach and write 10 books on this, but if I miss, don't come together right, it won't make any difference. The book's just a book. That's all it is. Wonderful book with wonderful truth. We got hundreds of books, lots of books. People are writing today about many, many things and problems in our own nation. But who's reading them? And in reading them, make them work. But we can't make them work. If God isn't in it, how are we going to do it? How are you going to make... I don't want to get in. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness. And God, here we are. Oh. Spirit of God, thank you. Lord, my Father, thank you. Help us. In Christ's name, amen.